Welcome back into the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap, presented by Full Press Coverage. Sap, it's only Wednesday, and it's been a wild week in the NBA, and it's all centered around the Brooklyn Nets, which isn't that surprising considering they're one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the league, and they had a very turbulent offseason, and the regular season has been no different. They just fired their head coach, Steve Nash, after only 7 games and a 2-5 record. Actually, they lost last night, so I think they're 2-6 now, Sap. And that wasn't too much of a surprise because we knew that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving weren't particularly big fans of Steve Nash, and he hasn't been the greatest coach in the world. But what is surprising is who the Nets have reportedly chosen to be the replacement for Steve Nash, and that is suspended Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. The reports came out yesterday, basically about an hour after Nash was fired, that Udoka was who the Nets had tapped to be their next head coach. They then talked to the Celtics about it. The Celtics gave him essentially free rein to just go ahead and take that job, and weren't going to seek any sort of compensation, even though he's technically still under contract with the Celtics. And all that we're waiting on now really is a formal announcement from the Nets that that Udoka is the guy. So a lot of questions here, a lot of ramifications. But Sap, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I don't know if you've been listening to me for the last several months, or at least since Ime Udoka was suspended, but that doesn't come as a surprise to me. I just figured that the next landing place for Ime Udoka would be in Brooklyn, because before he became Celtics head coach, he was an assistant under Steve Nash as an assistant coach with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on that squad. And I think they already formed some sort of relationship. I get the feeling that as soon as he was suspended by the Celtics, that the Nets had the clock on for Steve Nash, and that from that point forward, they were vetting Ime Udoka. And once they got the green light that they could get him without compensation and that everything was going to be, I guess, somewhat good. I mean, there's going to be some backlash once he's announced as the new head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. At least I would think there would be, that the clock was ticking on Steve Nash. And then only the Nets could win a game, then fire a coach, have an interim coach step in, and then lose. Like, that's the opposite of what normally happens. I'm not surprised at all. And I'm not surprised that the Celtics are going to let him out of his contract, because I think the Celtics, as we've talked about many times, are not the most financially flush team in the league, right? I mean, obviously, Wick Grosbeck and the owners are wealthy guys. They all are, to own an NBA team. But they're nowhere near as wealthy as, say, Joe Lacob with the Golden State Warriors, or Steve Ballmer, certainly, with the Clippers, or just about any other owner. And I think that Udoka had somewhere around 4 years remaining on his contract at $3 million a year. Let's say it's $12 to $15 million that they still owed him. They're out from under that now, and that's real money for them. For billionaires, that's normally a rounding error, like for Steve Ballmer or Joe Lacob or any other wealthy owner. For the Celtics, I think it's a little bit different because they just don't create as much revenue as those teams because they don't own their own arena. And their TV deal with NBC Sports Boston is good. The national TV deal is really good, but it's going to be great in a few years. And a lot of these teams are still trying to recover from the pandemic. I think that's why they suspended him back in September. They were on the hook for half of his salary. They penalized him the other half. And I think they were just waiting for the opportunity that someone wanted him. They'd let him go. They'd be out from under the contract. And I think they don't want the drama of trying to negotiate right for a second round pick. I mean, heck, if Danny Ainge was still here running things, I'm sure he would have started with, we want Kevin Durant for Ime Udoka, and then they'd work from there. And somehow he would have got a second round pick, or maybe he wouldn't. Maybe the Nets would have balked at that, and it would have been more drama, and this could have carried on forever. Just remember, even when the Celtics traded for Kyrie Irving, how long it took to finalize that deal, because they were hemming and hawing over, what, a second or a first round pick with the Cavaliers. That was back 5-6 years ago. So I think it worked out that the Celtics get out from under Ime Udoka, but I'm not surprised at all that he's going to be the next head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, because, first of all, Brooklyn is a scumbag organization, so he fits right in with Kyrie Irving and the rest of those guys. I mean, compared to the Nets, the Lakers look like the Spurs under Popovich and Tim Duncan in terms of stability, right? I mean, that's right. Just a, a complete tire fire in Brooklyn. I can't think of a worse organization in all of sports, with the possible exception of the Washington Commanders, who are now going to go up for sale finally. So Brooklyn Browns, will take maybe over last place. The Browns are really bad too. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing, like the Lions don't win in football. I get that. But they don't embarrass themselves, right? Like the ownership isn't embarrassing. You don't hear crazy things about players. Dan Campbell's kind of a lovable loser as the head coach. With the Nets, it's like, and I know we're going to get into it a lot more about Kyrie Irving. He is the biggest piece of crap in all of professional sports. And he's kind of at the forefront of that organization. But I'm not surprised at all that Udoka is going to be the next coach of the Brooklyn Nets. It kind of makes sense to me because you knew he was going to come back. The big thing is, what exactly did he do to get suspended by the Celtics? We still don't know. And I think you put out a really good tweet yesterday saying, are the Celtics the moral police by suspending him? Maybe he didn't do as heinous a thing as we all anticipate. I know the Brooklyn Nets just, you know, don't give a crap about anything and just want a guy who, by all accounts, is a good head coach.
Yeah, you know, Sap, it's one of those scenarios where I think both those teams look really bad. And the only way that I see this is it's one of two things, Sap, and potentially both. That the Nets are, like you said, a scumbag organization, and they're hiring a guy who was, you know, not treating women in the organization, Celtics organization, with respect. In fact, was, you know, was making them feel uncomfortable, you know, cheated on his fiance, all that sort of stuff. So if you're a woman who works in the Nets organization, you can't feel good about that today. Again, we don't know the extent of it, or it's the Celtics way overreacting to something that really was, you know, unprofessional, but not something that worthy of, you know, essentially banishing the guy. So both teams, I think, look bad today. And one team, depending on how much more we find out about Udoka, is going to look far worse. But I don't think the Celtics players are particularly happy today too, Sap. I don't know if you saw this, but just a couple minutes ago, the Boston Globe published an article from Adam Himmelsbach where he talked to Marcus Smart about his reaction. And Marcus Smart is the longest tenured Celtic. And so his voice carries a lot of sway with the organization. He's not happy. He said to Himmelsbach, obviously, we wish he was here, referring to Ime Udoka. We have no control over that. It definitely sucks. I guess it was deemed that whatever happened was enough for him to not be the coach. But I guess that's not enough for him to not be a coach somewhere else, obviously. His name got slandered, and he'll probably never coach again. And a couple of months later, he's going to be the coach of one of our biggest rivals. It's tough. It makes no sense, but we can't control that. We have to control what we can control. I love the team here. I love the coaching staff. I love Joe Mazzulla. So
my two biggest questions from that, Jet, is what do the players know? How much do they know about what happened? And how in the hell in this day and age do we not know more about this? I mean, the Daily Mail came out with some of the details, but none of the reporters that cover the Celtics or the NBA know what went on. Or if they do, they're not letting us know because maybe they don't have a second source. Maybe the lawyers for whoever they work for are saying, we're not touching this because it's a potential lawsuit. Like, we haven't found out about this stuff, or at least more of the details. So the players must know something. And I'll be honest with you, Smart's comments to me are somewhat tone deaf in this sense. If I'm Joe Mazzulla, how do I feel? Because now I'm the interim head coach of the Boston Celtics. I don't know if they're going to lift that tag from him, you know, six games into his career as a head coach, an interim head coach. But how do you feel if you're Joe Mazzulla, one of their prominent players, says, we wish he was still here? I mean, that doesn't sell well for me if I'm Joe Mazzulla. This whole thing could really implode two franchises. The Nets, who are just, you know, they would need Sigmund Freud circa, you know, 1880 to coach this team. I mean, there's such a mess. I don't know who could handle them. I mean, Phil Jackson, who could handle personalities better than anyone, would probably walk away from this group of Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant and the rest of them. And this could really fracture the Celtics, right? If the players are still in support of Ime Udoka. And now if I'm Joe Mazzulla, I'm like, guys, I'm the coach. You know, are you going to support me, or are you going to long for the days of Ime Udoka? And unless we find out exactly what happened, it's all left to speculation, which that's dangerous.
Yeah, the Celtics have not handled this situation well at all. In fact, they've handled it with like all the aplomb of the Washington Commanders or the Cleveland Browns. Honestly, it's been a disaster how they've handled it from the get-go. This is the quote that to me, Sapp, might be the most damning for Marcus Smart in this piece, is that he said, it really doesn't matter what we say to the front office. We can voice our opinion, but I'm sure it's just going to be, yeah, we hear you, and that's it. That's not good. You know, that means that the front office and the ownership is not communicating well with the players, and that could certainly lead to, like you said, Sapp, a fracture. And the team's playing pretty well right now. Not, you know, not fantastic, but they're playing well, and they obviously have championship aspirations, and this is the last thing they need to have, you know, this sort of distrust between the front office and ownership and the players, and internal, you know, bad feelings about who the coach should be, shouldn't be. And then for the Nets, you know, Ime Udoka certainly at the end of last season was looking like one of the better head coaches in the NBA. This is a completely different situation than what he had with the Celtics last year. And, you know, this is something he's going to have to try to turn around on the fly with players. Okay, he knows them, but he knows them as an assistant coach, not as a head coach. And it's only gotten way worse since he was in Brooklyn, Sapp, you know, 2 years ago, you know, in terms of where these players are at.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Brooklyn when Kyrie and Durant were playing. He was there when they got to the second round of the playoffs and lost in game 7 in overtime to Giannis and the Bucks. Then he became the head coach of the Celtics. The year before he was in Brooklyn, he spent 1 year in Philadelphia. Before that, he had been an assistant for a long period of time in San Antonio. And some of these moves were lateral, which, again, sometimes your mind starts to work. Was he having issues like this in San Antonio? They moved on from him. He went to Philadelphia, spent a year there. Were there more issues in Philadelphia? He moved on to Brooklyn. He had issues there and finally got his head coaching job, and the issues continued with the Celtics, and now he's back to Brooklyn. I mean, are there issues here with Ime Udoka? Again, all we are left is to speculate, and that's, again, a dangerous thing for anyone. And unless the Celtics divulge what actually took place or some reporter doing their job and not being held back lets out what exactly happened, that's what's going to happen. We're going to speculate, and that's going to lead to many, many different conclusions, or no conclusions, actually. So, yeah, it's a mess, and he's going into a place where you've got Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, a total fire tire at this point. Like, good luck to him. And the Celtics, meanwhile, now are, again, prominent players longing for Ime Udoka. And now you've got a 34-year-old interim head coach who's like, how much support does he have in the locker room? We don't know.
Yeah. It's a bad situation, and it's only gotten odder. And that the fact that it's, you know, so quick into the season that this is happening, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting the Celtics to hold on to Udoka until the end of the year and then sort of part ways mutually. And then maybe a team like the Nets sign him. But, you know, so quickly into the season, it just creates another bizarre wrinkle into this whole story. And you know, we really need more information, like you said, Sapp. That's the key. We need more information. We don't have it, and until we do, all we can do is speculate. And so that's not good. It's not good. The Nets look like a dirtbag organization, which they already did. The Celtics look tone deaf to me right now. The players seem unhappy, and so we'll have to see how it progresses, because there's, as we said when the story first came out, Sapp, there's far more to be revealed, and we're in the same boat, you know, right now on the 2nd of November than we were just over a month ago when this story broke. So we'll have to see what comes out. But, you know, that's not all for the Brooklyn Nets, Sapp, as they've had controversy before this happened with my least favorite player in the entire planet, Kyrie Irving. Sapp, this has just gone, he's gone down this rabbit hole of being a guy who's kind of like, we says stupid things like, you know, the earth is flat, and then had his whole anti-vax, to now he's starting to say, you know, dangerous stuff. And this culminated with a tweet that he had the other day, where he just threw out a link to a movie on Amazon called Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America, the movie. Based on a book, same director that is the author of the book. And essentially, the book and movie are both rife with anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, falsehoods, tropes. And we've already been dealing with a lot of anti-Semitism in the country and in the world, no thanks to Kanye West and some other, you know, bad actors and stuff like that. And the situation only got weirder and worse, Sap, as immediately after Kyrie put that out there, the Nets owner, Joe Tsai, tweeted that he condemned it. And then Kyrie Irving had a press conference for the ages a day later where him and, was it Nick Friedel, Sap?
I believe so, yeah, a reporter.
ESPN.
Right.
Really got into it back and forth for about 2-3 minutes where Kyrie wouldn't take any sort of ownership for what he did and essentially denied any sort of wrongdoing. And really, it was ugly. One of the worst press conferences in NBA history, one of the lowest moments in NBA history, in my opinion, Sap. And now Kyrie's not even talking to the media because the ownership or management thinks that cooler heads need to prevail. It's an ugly situation. It's only gotten uglier, Sap. And there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, the thing with Kyrie Irving is he likes to have this discussion, but he's the only one that can speak. No one else can speak. He'll put stuff out there, and when he's questioned about it, now he pushes back and shouts down the reporter. Look, Kyrie Irving is an incredible basketball player. Put that aside. And it seems that other people can't put that aside and make that that prominent thing about him, because I haven't heard one NBA player speak out against what he did. Not one NBA player, right? And I get that there's exactly one Jewish player in the NBA. It's Deni Avdija from the Washington Wizards is the only Jewish player in the NBA. And if he spoke out, no one would probably pay attention because no one knows who he is. You know, so he's not even a prominent player. Where are the rest of the stars in the league that are very woke when it comes to social injustices, right? Pushing back against social injustices. And I'll throw my man out there, LeBron James. One of the reasons I like LeBron so much, besides I think he's the greatest player ever, I think he usually weighs in pretty consciously on these social injustices. Where the hell is LeBron James? Speak up. I know that he was your teammate and you won a championship together and maybe you want him on the Lakers or whatever, but this is much bigger than basketball. Speak up and say what Kyrie Irving did was wrong. Thank God for Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller. Charles Barkley's a national treasure.
Yeah.
When I was watching him last night, I was nearly in tears. Tears. My Boston accent broke in there for a second. I apologize. I try to keep it down. That man, I've said this before, in all of my years of watching sports, covering it, enjoying it, the three best broadcasters that I've had the privilege to watch, Howard Cosell, back when I was growing up, John Madden, and Charles Barkley, for all different reasons. I mean, talk about three guys that were a lot different from each other. But the one thing they were is, first of all, Madden was incredibly insightful and just so entertaining. Barkley's insightful and entertaining, but he really sunk his teeth into this. And Cosell was just so unique when he was doing what he did back in the 60s and 70s and the way he stood by Muhammad Ali. Those are the three guys. And Barkley's a national treasure. And he just was sensational last night on TNT. And
Shaq, I'll throw Ernie Johnson in there too, Seth.
Ernie Johnson as well. Yeah, Kenny Smith like kind of lost me at some point, and he sometimes does. But again, I think you don't necessarily want to have just four guys piling on, but there are certain things that we can all agree on are wrong. And what Kyrie Irving did is wrong. And Barkley spoke up. And thank God for Reggie Miller as well, you know, speaking up. And where the hell are all the players in the league? Where's Jaylen Brown, who has a problem with everything, right? But apparently it's okay to just be hateful to Jewish people. If someone had bashed gays or women or blacks, everybody would run to support them, and rightfully so. But because you're bashing Jewish people, that's okay. And this is a league that the commissioner is Jewish. He hasn't spoken up.
Sure, a bunch of owners, too.
Bunch of owners. Joe Lacob of Golden State, Steve Ballmer with the Clippers.
Mickey Aronson. Mickey Aronson.
Yeah, Mark Cuban with Dallas. Like, you know, there's a half a dozen owners right there, and none of them have spoken up. Are they just all – look, I think that Kyrie Irving is kind of almost like David Koresh. It almost feels like he has this mystical power over people because he's a phenomenal basketball player that everyone's like, oh, Kyrie's this deep thinker. He's a piece of shit is what he is. And, you know, he should be suspended, fined, and talked to, right? You know, I'm kind of going off in 9 million directions here, but you remember DeSean Jackson a couple years ago, the football player who was, you know, spewing the same type of hatred. Julian Edelman, who this to me is Julian Edelman's greatest achievement, not winning a Super Bowl MVP and being a great football player. He reached out to DeSean Jackson and said, let's have a conversation, because obviously Julian Edelman is Jewish.
Right, brought him to the Holocaust Museum, if I'm remembering
exactly,
correctly.
Exactly. Where is someone to do that? An owner, even an owner do it. I don't know if it has to be an NBA player again, because there's one Jewish player in the NBA and no one knows who he is.
Yeah, we're not particularly good at basketball, Sap.
No, I guess not. You know, well, Amari Stoudemire. Amari Stoudemire.
That's true.
Jewish.
We got Amari.
You know, he got Amari Stoudemire, and he spoke up. He said he's wrong, and he should apologize. Good for Amari Stoudemire. Where's LeBron James? Where is he? And this is the guy who has to speak up, and this is my guy, and I'm disappointed. And the thing is, too, Kyrie Irving plays in a city that has the largest amount of Jewish population in the world, New York, followed by Jerusalem, followed by Los Angeles. So LeBron plays in Los Angeles, and supposedly the Lakers want Kyrie Irving. Like, you would think someone would speak up.
It's frustrating, Sap. You know, that's the word I keep coming back to with all this stuff, is that, you know, it's frustrating. And even before the Kyrie thing with the Kanye West stuff, you know, not nearly enough people were speaking up and saying, this is wrong, this is bad. You know, there's obviously as a Jewish person, again, I don't practice, but my parents are Jewish. I am mm-hmm. Jewish, and I look at it as a cultural thing, not really a religious thing, but a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. The misconception I think a lot of people have about Jewish people, amongst many, is that there's a lot of us. There's really not. I mean, we're a very, very small percentage of the global population. There's very few of us actually. So, you know, that's a large misconception. And so that makes it even harder, because there's a lot less people to speak out. Like, we really need other people to speak out and say, this is wrong. And, you know, I've prided myself on being somebody that, you know, can look at a situation if somebody is being intolerant of, you know, of gay people or transgender people, black people, women, whatever, it's calling it out. And Jewish people do have a history of being activists, and especially Jewish people and black people working hand in hand in the civil rights movement. And, you know, the people who hate Jewish people and hate black people, this is what they want. They want to tear us apart, and they want mm-hmm. to have us divided. But you can't fall for that. And Kyrie Irving is as much of a as he thinks he's a free thinker and stuff, is a sucker. I mean, I think he's a piece of shit too, Sap. I do. But at the end of the day, I think he's just a sucker. He believes everything he reads, you know, right. Any conspiracy theory that he reads, he buys into. And, you know, that's, you know, P.T. Barnum would have a field day with Kyrie Irving. You know, he'd be able to sell him whatever the hell he wanted. But again, to your point, Sap, it's frustrating that guys like LeBron James or Jaylen Brown aren't speaking out. And it's left to the people like Reggie Miller and Charles Barkley, who aren't players anymore, to have to say something. And I was really happy that they did, because they are very prominent voices in the media. But we still need more people. And Kyrie needs to be, you know, what he did needs to be condemned amongst his peers. You know, not just people who are broadcasters, but amongst his peers. That's the more powerful condemnation in my mind. And so, yeah, it's frustrating to see that there's a real lack of any sort of mobilization to say, hey, this is, you know, this is wrong, or somebody to reach out to Kyrie, like you said, and hey, let's have a discussion. Because it's really, once we lose that communication factor as, you know, human beings, and we can't talk to each other and be able to have an open conversation and dialogue, then we're really lost as a species, Sap. Because mm-hmm. what Kyrie Irving did in the press conference to me was far more disgusting even than that initial tweet, because he was unwilling to have a conversation or a dialogue about it, completely unwilling to shut it down, was shouting down the reporter. Essentially, he was saying he was being dehumanized. He was dehumanizing the reporter, mocking him. You know, on one hand, he's saying, I have this great platform. On the other hand, he's saying, oh, I don't, you guys are making up that I have a platform. So it's complete bullshit. Everything he says,
he's
everything
always
that comes
the victim.
Out of the guy's mouth,
he's always the victim. No matter what, again, I always say that Russell Westbrook is the least self-aware athlete I've ever seen. Kyrie Irving actually has taken
at
that
least
title
he's not
over
a
from
bag.
Russell Westbrook. No, that's the thing about the Lakers. Like, I want LeBron to speak up, but they're not like a bunch of bad guys. Like, you look at the Nets, and it's like, it's a circus with Kyrie and Ben Simmons. Does he really want to play? And Kevin Durant's, you know, oh, I found out at 1:15 while I was taking my nap that Steve Nash got fired. Bullshit.
And you he was like, oh, yeah, it fired. Sucks. It's such a shame. Yeah. You asked for him to be fired in the offseason.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just like that team is in a whole other stratosphere.
And, Sam, I'll say this, too, you know, about their general manager, Sean Marks, too, pulling Kyrie from media coverage. That's such a cowardly move.
He called it a fuss. I mean, again, maybe because he's Australian, Sean Marks, I believe. And maybe that's, you know, just a word that they use, fuss. Like, in our vernacular, fuss means it's just like this minor problem. Just
it sounds like much you know, ado that, about nothing to me. Right, that's the way,
that
basically, the way the phrase is.
Around my head is just a fuss. It's, you know, I can swat it away. Like, this was a fuss that one of the biggest stars in the league is propagating this nonsense. And I know we've compared Kyrie Irving to Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is full of himself as well, but I don't think he would ever go here. In fact, I know he wouldn't go here. I think the apt comparison to Kyrie Irving is actually Curt Schilling. Like, I think Curt Schilling is a hateful. I don't find Rodgers being hateful. I think he's on ayahuasca. He's kind of this, you know, kind of like a hippie. But he's got his own set of issues. But I don't find him to be a hateful guy.
No, I would just compare them. At this point, no, I don't think so.
Different type of crazy. But with Kyrie, like, he's going to keep playing. And look, now the Nets games, you're going to have, and I hope it continues, that, you know, Jewish people are going to show up in protest of Kyrie Irving. If more comes out about Ime Udoka, women may show up protesting. So, you know, let's just wait for the next Net to criticize the LGBTQ community or to criticize blacks, and we'll have more people there protesting. But for some reason, no one's really speaking up for the Jewish people. That's the part that really infuriates me. And again, I'm Italian-American. I'm Roman Catholic. But I have a lot of Jewish friends. You're one of my best friends, and I know this has to hurt. When something like this takes place and that people believe it, right? You know, anybody that's a Holocaust denier, to me, I can't even have that conversation. That's way worse than the earth is flat. That's kind of silly and maybe it's cute. You know, maybe okay,
no,
this
like
guy,
I said,
he's having a bad day.
With Kanye, Kyrie, you can basically, they're interchangeable at this point.
Oh, yeah. Antonio Brown is the third, you know, partner of that troika.
But that his sentiments have gotten more and more dangerous in my opinion, in that, you know, okay, the earth is flat. All right. Ha ha ha. You know, you're an idiot. The vaccine doesn't work. I'm not going to get the vaccine. All right. That's dangerous. That's not good. Why are you doing that? And then, you know, putting out anti-Semitic stuff out there, and that's really bad too. And, you know, this is somebody that, you know, he's talked about Louis Farrakhan in the past before too, with reverence, as do a lot of people. And that's, he's, an awful anti-Semite, also the guy who put out the hit on Malcolm X. So, you know, know your history. He's no friend of the black people either. And Sap, this is the, again, it's not just not players not speaking out, but the statements from the NBA and stuff have been just so half-assed and weak. This was from the NBA PA yesterday, Sap, just a little tweet.
Which he's a vice president of, right?
Vice president of. This was their tweet. Anti-Semitism has no place in our society. The NBAPA is focused on creating an environment where everyone is accepted. We are committed to helping players fully understand that certain words can lead to hateful ideologies being spread. We will continue to work on identifying and combating all hate speech wherever it arises. Okay, so why this is awfully out of the blue, NBAPA. Why are you putting this out here now?
Right.
Is it possibly because your vice president is responsible for this?
And no mention of Kyrie Irving, right? And look, there are probably other players in the league. In fact, I will guarantee you there are a lot of other players in the league that believe 100%. What Kyrie Irving had to say. Steven Jackson went to bat to defend DeSean Jackson, right, a couple of years ago. Like, are we waiting for Julian Edelman, who's been retired from football for 3 years, who was a good enough man to reach out to DeSean Jackson and try to educate him? Is he going to be the guy that reaches out to Kyrie Irving? And, like, good luck with that, because trying to have a conversation with that guy.
Julian Edelman can't be the Jewish ambassador for everything.
No,
you know?
It almost feels like the Jewish ambassador to pro sports, Julian Edelman. Like, let's give him a position, right? Like, why not? Because he seems to be the only guy who has the intelligence and the balls to do this. Like, I cannot believe that however many owners in the NBA that are Jewish haven't spoken up, especially like Mark Cuban, who I think at this point in life is like, doesn't really care what he says.
Why not Adam Silver, Seth?
The commissioner of the freaking league is Jewish. Like, speak up. speak up? Are we all just, are they all frightened of Kyrie Irving? Again, he reminds me of David Koresh. It's like he has this mystical power over everyone. Which
is
that's
it like a,
even
is
crazier.
It a brotherhood of players,
yes.
Seth, that they're
well,
so unwilling
yeah.
to go against
yep.
another player? Like,
absolutely.
Okay, with the Robert Sarver stuff, we all agreed, dirtbag. And the Donald
yes.
Sterling stuff, dirtbag, should get out of the league.
Yep.
No one wants them here. They don't have a place in the league. The players were so quick and did, and I applaud them in rallying behind that cause to get those guys the hell out of the NBA. Successfully in both, we're still waiting for the Suns to be sold, but they're going to be sold.
And marching for George Floyd, absolutely. We're all in support of that.
So
everyone,
we know they can do it and are willing
yes.
to do it, but when it comes to one of their own, the players, they're unwilling to do it. So, you know, that doesn't make you an activist. You can't pick and choose
exactly.
when you're going to be an activist. You know, you have to be, you're either for equality and support of all people or you're not. And
you're against bullying. You're against bullying across the board, right? Like if you're in school and, you know, you're in high school and a certain group are being bullied, you're there to support them. But you've also got to support anybody else that's bullied. You can't pick and choose the people that you're supporting. Exactly. That is a great point, Jet. You know, we're here to support all. But for some reason, the Jewish people just kind of they can fend for themselves. Right.
Well,
that's the narrative.
Absolutely, Sepp, and it's that, and it's the fact that, again, it's one of their own, it's a player's, but either you're, you know, you're either
and
for what's
guy.
Right, you're
it's
either for
guy,
what's
though,
right or you're not.
Right,
what's
but
right
guy,
doesn't
see,
matter who says it, Sepp. You say
exactly.
what's right or it's wrong, it doesn't matter who
right.
says it. It doesn't but, matter if it was LeBron James who said it.
Right.
He would never, because I don't think he has that type of hate in his heart, and I
no.
think that he's a very good person. Kyrie's, like you said, a piece of shit. But even if it was the most powerful player in the league, wrong is wrong, right is right. It's this is not a there's a little gray area here. What he did was wrong. What he did subsequently was wrong. Say it.
Right. Yeah. Don't come up with this like half-assed thing from the Players Association and not even name Kyrie Irving. So now if I'm a player who's never spewed this hatred, I'm like, they're just kind of lumping us all together, which that I'm not cool with that either. Like, where's Malcolm Brogdon, who's a social justice warrior, right? Why doesn't he speak up? Obviously, Jaylen Brown. LeBron's the leader of the NBA. I mean, he's the most visible player still, right? Like, why doesn't he speak up? Is it just he's thinking, well, maybe Kyrie's going to come to the Lakers in 3 months and save me? I mean, have we gotten to that point that that's more important than repudiating what this guy had to say or,
right,
or what
I think
he endorsed?
You're 100% right. And I think, too, you know, a lot of this onus, and it shouldn't be, but is now on the reporters. Some of them are beat reporters and they don't feel comfortable doing this. But I do feel like they need to do what Nick Friedell did and press the players on it, not just Kyrie
yep.
Irving. Press other players on what their thoughts are. Make them say something. Make them be committal. If they're going, and then you see what their true colors are. But a lot of them are so, these beat reporters are so afraid of hurting relationship with their sources or whatever, that they're not willing to do it. But this is the time to put those journalism degrees to use,
yes.
you know, and actually press some of the players on it. I'm not saying you have to ask them every single time they're up, but get a reaction. Every player in the league should be asked at least what they think of the situation, because it's
exactly.
a national story. And if they
yep.
want to say no comment, then you can interpret that however you want. But I'm sure some of them would have something to say, but you need to force them to say it, because at this point it's startlingly obvious that no one is going to go out of their way to say anything to condemn Kyrie Irving.
And in kind of wrapping this all up, Jet, you now have the Nets with two hot button stories, right? You've got Kyrie and you've got Ime Udoka. Maybe in their crazy mind, they're like, well, we've got two of them. Hopefully it makes both of them simmer down a little bit, because Ime Udoka might think, yeah, let's keep this Kyrie Irving story going, because they're not going to ask me about what I did or didn't do in Boston. And maybe the Nets are saying, well, we've got Ime Udoka, so let's kind of take the attention off of Kyrie, because he's a crackpot. Let's put it on Ime Udoka. And like, it's now you're juggling two different things. I mean, this would be as if the Patriots had Aaron Hernandez in 2013 serving time in jail waiting for a trial, and also some other crazy thing happened to the franchise. Right. You know, so now you got two stories. So sometimes we don't have the capability as journalists or podcast hosts or just people in general of managing two stories at once or two thoughts at once, let alone two stories. So maybe the Nets in there somehow are brilliant by having all of this stuff happening so that we can't concentrate on one. But you know what? People are better than that. And again, Charles Barkley is a national treasure, as is Reggie Miller. Those two guys, commend them both for speaking up. Where the hell are the current players to speak up? Not a single one of them did.
Yeah, it's gross and it's very upsetting, you know, not just as a Jewish person, you know, that's because, you know, listen, that's a very small part of the way I identify myself. Again, it's a cultural thing, but I don't practice. I don't really celebrate many, if any, of the holidays. It's just sort of like who I am. But as a member of human society, it's upsetting.
Right.
You know, I would feel equally upset if there was something that happened where a player said something racist and players didn't speak out, or, you know, anti-Muslim, anti-Christian, anti-Buddhist. I just people need to support other people. And when they stop doing that is that's a really bad sign.
Now, Kyrie identifies himself as a Muslim, but in other ways, he seems to be a Buddhist. And like, I don't know what.
And then he talks about Jesus all the time, too. Sap. Right. He doesn't even know what the hell he is.
No,
he's
just again, that team needs Sigmund Freud to coach them. But he, you know, died in 1900. So I don't think you can exhume him to come back. And I don't even think Sigmund Freud would want to deal with that.
Need an exorcist is what they actually need
for that team. Yeah. And it. Good luck. I hope they keep losing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm relishing every loss. I tweeted this out and I saw you responded to it, Sap, too. I'm not a type of person that likes to like wallow in other people's misery. I don't think that that is a good way to live life, but I can't help it. Every time that he plays poorly and they play poorly, I'm happy. Really? Yep. I mean, I'm watching every single one of their games, box score watching, or if it's on TV watching, and just rooting for them to fail. And I think, you know, we're wrapping up here, but if I don't know they don't have many, but I don't know how you could be a fan of the Nets right now and not feel disgusted. You could always come back and say, okay, at some point, you know, they'll right the ship and these players will be gone years down the line and stuff like that. But right now with the Kyrie and now Udoka coming in, just like their moral compass seems to have been smashed. And so,
right.
I don't know how you can support a team like that. People will, obviously, if you just look at the comments on social media, people obviously don't care. But it's gross. And they've taken the title of the worst organization in sports in my mind.
I want to see one of the former player who I think we respect probably more than anyone speak up on this. And I'm not aware if he has or hasn't. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is obviously
right.
One of the, you know, icons of this sport. Will he speak up? I hope so. Because he will do it with clarity.
And he hates Kyrie Irving. So,
he hates everybody. He hates LeBron James because LeBron's going to break his scoring
That's
record.
True. He doesn't like LeBron
also,
either.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of too many people. I mean, Kareem is kind of iconoclastic, to say the least. But someone has to speak up. I'm sure if Bill Russell were still alive, he would have spoken up. But yeah, this is just hideous. It really, yeah. It's crazy.
Next Lakers game, Sap. A reporter after the press conference. After the game needs to ask LeBron, period.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know what? Damn the torpedoes. You got to do it. So we'll see what happens, Sap. It's certainly a situation we're going to continue to monitor with both Kyrie and Ime Udoka and how it affects both the Nets and the Celtics. So lots to talk about, obviously, here. And we will be back with a new podcast very, very soon. Plenty of news always going on in the NBA. And we didn't even talk about how the teams themselves are doing, just all this drama. But make sure you follow us on social media at JohnSapp25 and at Jed Stryer. And you can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Just type in the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jed and Sap. Thanks to Full Press Coverage. And we'll talk to you later, everybody. See ya.